First reading for today is from James, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. And excuse me. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The second reading for today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, and can also be found on page 3 of your worship bulletin. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. There was a quote by then President Richard Nixon when he said, "When the president does it, that means it's not illegal." Boy, was he wrong. he was wrong, but that's the mentality that a lot of us kind of live by in a sense for ourselves. It's wrong when someone else does it, but when we're doing it, we're not thinking about it so much as being something that's wrong. And we come up with excuses and reasons why what we did is not as wrong as what someone else has done. A lot of Christian preachers today, because of perhaps their own sin, because they're uncomfortable talking about individual sins because they know that they might offend someone, they don't talk about sin like they should. Generalized sin, perhaps. And while today's sermon is kind of in a general discussion of sin, I think I do also pretty frequently deal with those direct sins that the Bible talks about faithfully. That's something that we need to remember. We don't hear a lot of pastors, though, talking about sin, and certainly not its consequences, because they want to make you feel good as you go out the door instead of feel like you're a sinner. Well, to feel good going out the door, first you need to feel like you're a sinner, because you need to understand why you're feeling good, and that's because you receive that forgiveness of God for the sin that we commit. We need to talk about sin. It's our human condition. It's who we are. It's what we are. And in talking about sin, we remind ourselves just how ugly our lives can be, and perhaps at times have been, when we've been apart from God. I know my sin is always before me. And when I remember sins of the past, even, it's one of those things where you kind of like run back to the confessional, like old Martin Luther would do. I need to confess this over. You've already confessed that sin, but the guilt's still there. And God says, you know, I've taken away the guilt too. You need to let go of those things. And we're not able to fully understand how deep that forgiveness of God runs in our lives and what that means for us. It means eternal life. It means hope. But then again, there are those that are kind of like that little boy that was overheard praying, saying, "Lord, if you want to make me a better boy, that's okay. But if you don't, that's fine too, because I'm having a great time." We kind of get in this mode that we're okay with where things are because we're enjoying ourselves, and maybe that sin isn't so bad after all. Martin Luther identified the first means of grace as preaching the gospel. The gospel is the forgiveness of sins. So for us to preach the forgiveness of sins, we have to understand that we are sinners, that we need to hear that forgiveness of sins. And general sermons, generic sermons that avoid the reality of dealing with what our sins are, really not only miss the value of Scripture, but they miss the value of a Savior. Because we need to confess our sins before God. The struggle is that as we talk about sins, and as I even talk about sins, often I'll have people that note, "Wow, you really let them have it today." Wait a minute, hold on. I let them have it. What about you? You didn't hear anything in there for yourself, perhaps? It's like the pastor that was standing at the door. A parishioner came out and said, "Boy, felt like you were lodging those bullets right at me." And the pastor said, "Well, no, I was shooting them at the devil. But if I hit you with a few, you were sitting too close." That's kind of where we are at times. We're a little too close to that devil. And in all of our readings today, each one of these readings deal with sin in our life. And to add to that, then this important reading from Romans 6 that follows a little bit later than one of our other readings, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." We need to hear these words. We need to hear what the sin is, and we need to hear that we receive the forgiveness. And we need to know that it's important that from this point on we seek to change. I mean, why would people choose to sin and purposely go against God? Why do people continue to purposely sin and choose to go against God? I mean, have we forgotten that we are His children? That He's our Father in heaven? Have we forgotten that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? Have we forgotten that there is a punishment for our sins? Have we thought that just because we have that forgiveness that we don't have to worry about it? We can go on sinning because we know that God is going to go on forgiving us? Have we maybe forgotten that there's a future in heaven that we need to keep in mind is where we desire to be, and so we need to live more faithfully for God each and every day? There are no degrees of sin. There's no sinometer. It doesn't work like that. The wages of sin is death. God doesn't say the wages of this, the wages of that, the wages of something else. In our text today, the words adultery came out, murder came out, even hypocrisy against God was in there. Not honoring our father and mother was part of one of the readings. Those are direct sins that we commit and we need forgiveness for. Not one worse than the other, not one that's, we can say, well, my sin's a little sin compared to their sin. In the world's view, we deal with that. In the world's view, we do deal with that. If I lie to a telephone person trying to sell me something, we have one of the biggest call centers in the state right here in Arlington, just around the corner up here. We get the calls, you get the calls, I'm sure, hey, you registered for something. No, I didn't. You won a prize. I don't think so. If you only, take me off your list. So instead, can I speak to George Lowry? I love that. I always put my name George. I always write George because I don't use it. So whenever anybody calls and asks for George, I know it's business or they don't know me. And my usual response is, "I'm sorry, he's not available. Would you like me to take a message? George isn't here right now." Trust me, George has checked out a lot more than he should be, but that's a whole other issue. But is that sin of lying right there worse than murder? No, it's not. Is it as bad? Well, by God's standards, it is. Because I'm breaking God's commands and laws by being deceptive, by dishonesty. I mean, look at the we get the first sin in the Bible noted as just this disobedience against God. And for that, Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden. The next sin that comes up is murder. Wow, we made a big jump. You know, I mean, we're going to make sure that we cover everything from lying to God. No, I didn't do it. All the way to murder in just a, you know, in two pages. And that's the way sin is with God. This sin is sin. You've been disobedient. Fortunately, the way forgiveness is, the forgiveness is forgiveness, complete and total too. And no matter the sin, yes, even those that have committed murder have received the forgiveness of sins when they've expressed that broken and contriteness and that sorrow and regret before God. They face the punishment still for the sin, and that's the thing that we deal with. There are different consequences for different sins in this world. But in the biblical language, there are not. For God, the wages of sin is death. He doesn't identify which sin. He says sin is death. But the free gift, oh, that free gift and that forgiveness, that love of Christ, it conquers that sin. It conquers all of our sin. It reminds us that we belong to God, and He loves us so much that He's not going to let even the worst of our sin keep us away from Him. Sin is this trap that ensnares us. It takes us out, leads us a little further away, leads us a little further away. We used to have a family dog, Catherine and I, that when we lived out in the country a couple congregations ago, that when he'd get out, he'd stick his nose to the ground and be gone. He would end up a couple miles away from home because he followed his nose. And what he was following was a scent. Just a little scent here, a little bit more, little bit more, just followed it out, sniffing and sniffing and sniffing until he got further and further away from home. And that's the way sin kind of works in our lives. We get a little further away from God. And if we keep it up, we get a little further away from God. And a little further away from God, till we might be a long way from home. Fortunately, God comes after us. Holy Spirit never leaves us, doesn't ever lose sight of us, and is always there leading us back. Unlike the dog, we had to call the neighbors and get in the car and go out and holler, "Hey, Fresca, Fresca," you know, and eventually find the dog, and he smelled like skunk, and oh, great, here we go. Let me tell you, sin stinks. It does. We need to monitor ourselves. No centimeter to do it for us, so we need to remember what is faithfully following God, and what does that look like in our lives? And what is sin, and how does that separate us from God? We know the sins of our lives now. We need to ask forgiveness for those sins and seek to live more faithfully for God. It's important that we take sin seriously, because the wages of sin are very serious. I mean, we take death seriously. Sin's what gets us there. And if we were able to even go without sinning for the rest of our lives from this point on, it wouldn't take away from the fact that we're still sinful beings in need of forgiveness. And fortunately, no matter what, we know that Jesus is there for us. The love of God is there for us, and the complete and perfect and beautiful forgiveness of sins is always going to be there for us. We're freely forgiven, so we're now called to go out into the world also and freely forgive others that have sinned against us. We even pray that in the Lord's Prayer faithfully. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. May God help you not only to know the sin in your life, but to know the sin for the purpose of receiving His gospel, so that you can know what true forgiveness is And when you know that true forgiveness, it's going to be a lot easier to follow God and to live for Him instead of yourselves. Take sin seriously and then leave it behind and follow God. In Jesus' name, amen.